So I'm going to talk today. For those who don't know me, my name is Sean Cleary, one of the pastors here. And I'm going to talk to you about AI today. And this is going to be something that's probably a little bit different than what we're typically doing. In that I'm going to talk about some things that it's like, wow, this is tough. And then, but we're going to land someplace. And I want you to recognize that what I'm talking about is Jesus wins. Okay. It's important to know that because like anytime we talk about stuff that are challenging, because I don't know about you, if you haven't figured it out yet, things are getting weird. Right? If you watch the news at all, you're going, really? Are we doing this seriously? You know, we've come through so much stuff. If you haven't figured it out yet, the science is the cure for COVID was worse than the disease. You know? After that, I'm like, the government's like, hey, this is happening with, you need this. And I'm like, I don't know if I trust you guys anymore. You know? And you look at the media and they're like, oh, man, I can't trust what they're saying either. You know? You look at Hollywood and it's like, oh, I can't trust you. You know, we look at the education system. I can't trust you. You know, and so like the things that make up our society, those things that like are designed to kind of keep it together from just a human standpoint, they're not really working for us so much. And so it gives us a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear about what the future is. And so when you start talking about these things, you know, there's two like extreme reactions, right? And I tend towards the, let me find out about the conspiracies, right? None of you guys are like that, I know. And just so you know, I am pretty sure the world is not flat. And just check this one out. How can you fly from Argentina all the way to Australia almost the same time as you can fly from Argentina to Los Angeles if the world is flat? And for those that looked at the flat earth, you know what I'm talking about. So AI is one of these things that I was listening to some people that like know this stuff. They're in the stuff. They're creating this stuff. They talk and they're in the in-group with the people that are moving in this direction. And you listen to them and you're going, wow, really? That's crazy. AI is something that's going to be a disruptor to our way of life in ways that we don't even understand yet. I mean, we've already been talking about, like, there's going to be jobs that are going to be taken over by AI that you won't have to do anymore, right? And you're like, well, I don't know if that's a good thing, you know? But if there's some things that might do absolutely amazing, you know? We were talking the other day, and we were talking about cleaning, and Tammy made a joke. She's like, well, if it cleans, then I'm all for it, right? I'm like, and I, after the conversation I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? They'll probably have a robot that cleans windows using AI, and I'm thinking, we will probably buy that thing. You know, because it's gonna be cool in some ways, and there's gonna be some things that we're gonna be pulled into it because it's available and it makes life easier, right? And there's a part of me that like I understand the Quakers now more, right? It's like there's a part of me that's like, how about I just exit this? We'll just exit it all. You know, I don't even want to deal with it anymore, right? But then the church, you know, the Quakers aren't really impacting the world, right? Not pulling a lot of people out of hell. Why? Because they're not in the world at all. They just exited. Like, so that's probably not a very viable option. There's some place in between where we've got to navigate the space, you know, and not let the fear of like, I don't want to know anything. That was the other side of the extreme. I didn't get there, right? The other side of the extreme is, hey, I'm going to look at everything. The other side is, I don't want to know nothing, right? Everything's good. Only tell me good things. I don't want to look at the bad because as soon as I do, I start getting depressed, right? There's some place that we're designed to operate where we can recognize that the bad things are going to happen, right? And if you didn't know, right, the United States, the peace that we've and security we've had for the last 60 years or so, right? It's a blip, right? That's not the human experience. The human experience is more like, we'll have some time of peace, and then we'll turn around and kill each other. That's kind of how we've been rolling for the last six millennia, you know? Just how it works. So with AI, it's going to come in, and it's going to change things in ways that we're like, I don't know how to deal with that. Like, I don't know what to do with that. And it's going to be a struggle for us just on the individual level. How much do we embrace of that? How much are we going to let into our families? How much are we going to let into our house? Because I don't know about you, like right now the telephone by itself, it doesn't even, it's called a smartphone, but compared to AI, I'm pretty sure it's not that smart. Right? And it's helping, but it's not helping. You know? It's like a little devil and a little angel all wrapped up in one. You know? When I need a reminder, it's an angel. When it starts talking to me about other things, I'm like, oh, stop talking to me. Don't look at that. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And like, as a society, like, we haven't even figured out this yet. We haven't even figured out how to deal with the technology we have as a society. And we're like, we're going to just amp it up thousandfold. And that's the part of me that's like, God, can we just slow the roll here? How about we figure this level out before we go to the next level, right? But it's not. It's going to come. Doesn't, you know, my opinion on it really doesn't matter. And so we're going to have to, like, figure this out as we go along. So I want to introduce you to, like, something that I heard, just so, like, if you've never thought about it this way, you can just kind of grab a hold of this and go, oh, this is one of the things that it might be in the culture now, right? And so I'm going to do a little commercial for you. See, your personal AI will be the best personal assistant, counselor, even physician you have ever had. The perfect response every time you need it. It can feel your pain, laugh at your jokes, and even make you feel seen like no other. The friend who never judges. All these amazing traits wrapped up in a single AI that can fracture itself into several personalities, that can be the best companion in any situation you can find yourself in. He's there when you need him. Yay. Didn't see that one coming, did you? AI, this is what they're predicting. In 5 years, they're saying by 2029, that's what they're expecting, that AI is going to be able to know you more than your spouse, more than another human being, because it's going to be able to, like, it's going to have analyzed all the human traits in the entire world exposed to it, and then be able to read you and give you exactly what you need. Sean, you are so awesome. I don't know about you. I'm pretty sure I don't need that. My wife is smart enough not to do that all the time. You see what I'm saying? And so to think of it another way, it's going to be able to give us everything we could possibly need in a relationship without us having to work for it, without us necessarily even having to change. That might not be a healthy thing. For people who have a healthy way of operating, they might be able to adapt that in absolutely amazing ways. But for the same reason, people right now struggle with the technology that we have right now, multiply it by 1,000. Right? We got a problem in this country right now with young men that are having relationships with computers at the level that they can operate right now because they can't have relationships with other young ladies because they haven't been equipped for it, and the ladies are rejecting them because they're not the perfect guy. You know, because if you don't make the money, if you don't have the looks, if you don't have the muscles, yeah, I'm waiting for the perfect guy to show up. Okay, you know, it's like, ladies, come on. There's only so many of them, okay? We might have to settle for something less than a 10. And so if I can have a girlfriend that's a 10, like, not just a 10 in looks, but I mean 10 in just the way she talks to me, she can figure out how to talk to me exactly the right way, I can have a personal relationship, I can have a romantic relationship. and I can have the next level too. I am pretty sure some entrepreneurial spirited guy was going to come up with a way for you to have a very physical relationship with that same one. Because they like you. Right? If you don't think that's coming, that's coming. So consider this. Do you think that the AI is really going to be able to bring life into a relationship? I would really be surprised. It would be an absolute shocker if AI can bring life into a relationship. Because so far, the only thing I've experienced life in relationships is with Jesus. Right? If you're in this room and you've never experienced life in a relationship with Jesus yet, that's actually what we do here. That's the whole point. When you experience Jesus, you're like, oh, that's what life is like. Oh, that's what peace is like. Oh, that's what joy is like. Right? You're like, oh, presence of God. That's amazing. So if AI can't bring that into relationships, but now it can bring something into the relationships that the human without God would desire and hunger for to the maximum ability if they didn't know God. Now you're competing with something that is hard to compete with. So they're going to be able to run with that for a while. And there will be a place they will eventually figure out, you know what? This is not working. I don't know when that will be for people. You know, might be 15 minutes into it. I'm guessing it might be more like some years. Because you're going to keep trying. It's going to keep, oh man, it's like that friend that just tells you everything you need to hear. You know, and you're just like, oh yeah, this is my friend. And eventually you figure out, no, they ain't your friend. Because they're not there when you really need them. And there, people are going to come to that point where they're like, oh, I need something more than this. Enter the church. Could it be that as weird as it's going to get, as bad as it's going to get, it will equally become an opportunity for God? Because the darker it gets, the more the light shines. If you haven't figured it out yet, one of the struggles the church has in America is it's been so easy in America, you don't really need God. You have everything you need, and so there's enough, like, just, you could call it light. It's similar to what God gives, right? You got food, you got answers, you got support, you've got all kinds of things, medical, right? Like, you've got things that can fill the gap that God would fill if all of those things weren't there. Right? So our need for God is not elevated. So it's not quite as dark. Now, if tomorrow there's a nuclear bomb went off, right, and all electricity was gone, that was it. And it wasn't coming back on for years. Having a candle is pretty bright. You know what I'm saying? If all the batteries go dead, everything goes dead eventually. A candle, you have got something seriously bright. And that's how it is with, like, the harder it is in our lives. When I came to God, let me say it this way. When I came to Jesus, I was doing so much stupid, it was dark enough to where, whoo, that's light, I need that. Because this is not light. It's the contrast in it that really created the opportunity for me to see what I didn't see. Because if it wasn't that bright, I wouldn't recognize as being that important. So, like, this is not a bad thing for the church. It might be a hard thing for us to live through. It might be a hard thing for us to deal with. But it's not hard for God. Like, everything we need to get through whatever is going to be coming our way, he has a way of navigating us through it. Where we can have peace, joy, and love. That's why we don't have to be fear about it. And it's important that we recognize that, because when I talk about this, like, there's a level of tension just talking about it. It's like, oh, God, really? I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this. You can make it, trust me. God is, he is very powerful. He is more than enough to keep you through it. And in some ways, right, the first part of this conversation really is the challenge to start admitting to yourself that if I'm afraid of the way things are going, is there a way of looking at it I'm designed to walk with God in so that I can, the level of faith will move up to the level it needs to be to navigate through it? Because if I don't have the faith right now when I think about these things, what if he wants to give you the faith for that? What if you have a different conversation, God, not, I don't want to deal with this, or no, God, we can't go through this, we'll never survive. What if the conversation moves, God, you have a way of keeping me through this. Help me to see what I haven't seen. Help me to experience what I haven't experienced. Help me to be the person that is able to shine the way you shine through it so that the opportunity will not be missed. See, that's a different way of looking at it. So one of the big struggles with AI in this is the person that's going to get sucked into this and it's really going to damage, I suspect, right, that one of the things that's going to damage, because we already see it with technology, is the ability for people to navigate in relationships. Because we already see, like, that technology is interfering with that, right? So as you have kids grow up in technology, they have more screen time than they have FaceTime, right? And we're seeing developmental problems with learning how to interact in relationships. And if you think about it, we're used to that now. That's our norm, especially if you're younger than me, right? Like, the world my son grew up in is very different than the world I grew up in, right? I'm on the cusp. I am between, depending on what site you look at, I'm the first year of Gen X or the last year of the ones before that, the boomers. So I could call myself the greatest generation. Nah, not really. Wasn't there for that. I'm not that old. But when I was growing up, it was like, go play. When the street light comes on, be home. How many parents tell their kids that today? They're like, no, I wouldn't do that, right? How old's your kids? If you didn't hear, her kid's 45 years old. He's like, go play. You know, so my son grew up with a different way of operating. These things were a part of his life. Where when I was first growing up, we were just getting introduced to computers. We couldn't even afford them when I was a kid because they were so new. Very few people had them. My grandkids, completely different level. They've grown up with a smartphone, right? And you can see where the kids that they are growing up with, and some of the people of my son's generation, like, they struggle with relationships. Now, if you go back to Jesus' time, that wasn't an issue. See, when Jesus walked with his disciples, life was different because family, your tribe, your clan, your town, whatever, however you describe that, people grouped accordingly, and it didn't matter if it was good, bad, ugly, whatever, that was yours. You figured out how to operate with them. Your life depended on it, because once you go outside of that group, it was scary out there, because if you're not part of their clan, it might not go so well for you. It was an adventure. And so for millennia, that's how we learn. We're designed for that. So Jesus shows up when he's walking with his disciples. They didn't have to figure out how to have relationship with people. They already knew. So Jesus walks with them now. They've already got this foundation of peopling. Like, he wasn't like, hey, let's just learn to talk normal. Let's smile. Let's look at each other's eyes. You know what I'm saying? That was just like, you just did that. It was, everybody knew how to do that. So for him to disciple was easier than it's going to be for us. Just a thought. See, did you catch what I just said? Because if we're going to love on people, we've got this light shining, we actually know how to have relationship, right? That person's like, you know what? I am tired of having a relationship with AI. I need something real. They come across you and they're hungry. They don't know what they're hungry for. Something's broken. They don't know what's broken, but something's broken. And your light's shining and you're loving and you're like, hey, come on to my house. We'll have dinner together. They might be a little weird. You know what I'm saying? If our radar is not on the fact that, like, to pull people out of the hell that they're in, it's a different, like, you got to reach down there and say, hey, let's learn just how to walk together. And so the level of patience that we need, the level of love that we need, the level of long-suffering that we need, it is higher in relative terms, I guess, than what the apostles did when Jesus had already gone up and they went out and they started sharing the gospel with people. You see what I'm saying? There's a major challenge. But man, if you have that down, if like I've been walking with Jesus in such a way, I've grown to learn how to have a relationship with people. I've learned how to have a relationship with God. I've learned how to combine the two so that when I'm peopling with God while I'm peopling with people. I'm not sure that's a proper sentence, but we'll go with that. You're going to be so shiny to them. They're like, wow, that's amazing. I want that. But they're not going to know how to respond well. So I got a couple scriptures for you. These are ones that, if you've been in the church at all, you've probably heard these most, other than John 3:16. So Hebrews 10. Don't go to verse 25 until I say go, okay? So just this is verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is, we think, Paul. This is the book of Hebrews. You know, let's spur one another on. Let's spur one another on. We need, like he's saying, come on, let's spur. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be spurring one another on. You know, we do that. Or back up. Blah, blah, blah. They did that, not in this setting. They didn't have this setting. They had small groups. Then they had slightly bigger small groups. And then they had bigger small groups. But they didn't have this. They might have a big gathering, and then but they'd always be in small groups. Their churching was around small groups. Everything was around relationship. Everything, they ate together at times. They did things together. They walked things out together. So that's the way that he's thinking when he's talking about this. So instead of the guy with the mic spurring you on to good works, spurring you on to love, it was the people you're walking with. That's what he was saying. Let's spur each other on. Catch that. Here's the next verse. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I know we feel that now. It's like, see the day approaching. Like, yeah, it feels like it's approaching. It really does feel like it's approaching. But there was this built-in tension that we can't just waste time. We don't have time forever. They thought Jesus was coming back soon for them. I thought Jesus was coming back year 2000. We had all kinds of hype for those who didn't live through that one. You know, and now, I mean, they're talking about it again, wars and rumors of wars, things going on in Israel. Like, there's this tension. I don't know if he's going to come back. You won't hear me talk about these things like, Jesus is coming back, here's the signs, blah, blah, blah. And the reason why, because nobody knows. We feel it, but we don't know when. You know, and what I don't want to do is like give you that. And so if you're watching people on YouTube and like giving you, this is going to happen. This is like take it with a grain of salt. right? I personally don't listen to it. Because like it has a negative way of just, okay, it's going to happen. I need to focus on this instead of focusing on the mission that Jesus gave us. You know, so it can, if it's moving me away from, I don't have time to ignore the things that Jesus is saying important, then I don't have time for that, right? I can't let my mind go there. So, us meeting together in small groups, doing relationship, learning how to have relationship, might be the thing we need to elevate up and say, you know what? Am I going after that at the level of my calling? Probably a question before that is, do I have a calling? See, because we can think that the guy with the mic has the calling and the people in the pew don't have the calling. See, and this is why they didn't have that problem when Jesus is walking around, because they didn't do it like this. Jesus walked with them, right? You know, Sermon on the Mount, it's on the mountain, he's a little hill, and he's talking to people, and it's just, wow, it's amazing. But then he's walking with his disciples. He's spent all this time walking with disciples. And then there's moments in time, God does a miracle, and then he's walking with his disciples. He's walking with his disciples. He's walking with his disciples. See, he did more walking with them than he did, ooh, amazing things happening out here all the time. Ministering. The primary thing was the discipling. And so when Dwayne talks about baptizing and making disciples, like, he says that, I want to know, what do you think about that? Have you ever asked, what do I think about that? Is that my calling, or is that the ministry's calling? Because if you think it's the ministry's calling and not your calling, you're missing the point. Right? You're the body of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. You're the sons of God. Right? This is who you are. And if it's not in my purview of, okay, this is what Jesus is calling me to, this is who I am, well, I don't feel that way right now. I don't know how to be that way right now. But he's building the house, so he's working with me to become that person right now if I'm able to actually follow him. And, like, I know that's the direction we're going. But if I don't believe that's the direction I'm going, when he starts pulling me there, I'm like, I guess I you see what I'm saying? We won't follow him there. Sorry, give me another scripture. This is Matthew 18. Jesus is talking. I also tell you this. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Hold on a second. Now, this is right after he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus talking to disciples. This was the verse directly before this, right? So he's talking about, hey, you are a representative of heaven. God's empowering you to represent him. That's what he's talking about here. Red letters. Jesus talking to his disciples. Okay, he's saying the same thing to you. This wasn't for them and not for us. This is for his church. Next verse. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. In the original Greek, the translation would read, in my name. If you notice in this particular version, they say, as my followers. Why? Because when we say, in the name of Jesus, we kind of omit the part that requires following. If I'm not following, I'm not in his name. If I'm doing my thing and not his thing, he's not on that. He's not like, yes, you are representing me. Feel free to do whatever you want. You have my authority. Feel free to do whatever you want. You see, those don't work together. When the Bible talks about doing something in his name, it's implied that I'm actually following him. Like, I'm hearing the Spirit of God lead me, and I'm moving with God. He's saying, ooh, move here. I am with him. That's the implication there. And so when you consider that, now he's saying this. Where two or three are gathered, I am there. You're not alone. It's not just, hey, we gather together and Jesus is there. It's Jesus is there so that we can represent him in power and authority, so that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Why do we know that? Because when there's two or three gathered together, he's there. You see what I'm saying? When we get together in small groups, is our expectation equal to what we've been given? Is our expectation equal to what we've been given? What if it could be? Some of you are in here right now going, oh, that sounds like pie in the sky. I can feel it. You're like, I don't know. Really? I don't know, Sean. I don't know if that can be true. You don't know me. Dude, you don't know me. If you knew me, you'd be like, wow, that's amazing. That's a miracle. Right? I started out this thing, as a teenager, I was a mess. I was doing PCP, LSD, Robin, you know, not bad Robin, just don't get caught Robin. It was mostly a crime without a victim. You know, and I got to the point where I'd been doing it for years. And I just like, oh, God. And I'm just a teenager. Like, I started early. I'm like, if we're going to do this, let's start early. And so by the time I was so sick of it, I'm like, oh, man, God, I need, like, if you're real, I need to know about it. And he shows himself to me. And as soon as he did, I'm like, okay, if you're real, I'm going after you because this is not working. And there's a world out there that's waiting for us to be who we're designed to be. And if we don't agree with that reality, right, we're never going to step into it. There's something God was sharing with me that I want to share with you. And it was just very, I think it was this morning, it really started crystallizing. I don't know if we recognize it. Do you know how many times in Scripture he calls himself the Son of Man? Have you ever thought about that? She gave me a number. It's an odd saying. It really is kind of an odd saying. But he's saying, hey, I'm a man. He was an amazing man. He peopled amazingly. He was the example of what it's like to be a man connected to God, to be able to express the fullness of being able to interact in relationships. And on the other hand, he's the Son of God, able to operate from the power of heaven as God, representing God in the form of a man. And we focus on him being the Son of God, us being sons of God, because he called us sons of God, but could it be built into that of him calling us sons of God, that we're designed to walk like he walks, that we're also designed to be sons of men? Now, if you know me for any bit of time, I can't count how many times I've said it, I'm not necessarily defined as a people person. Right? I'm a much more of a people person now than I was. Why? Because in the process of following Jesus, he helped me become what I didn't have before I met him. So my having a lack of skills in that area, of understanding in that area, right? Intelligence in that area, whatever you describe, like I'm so amazed at people, persons. Like there's some people that just, they can say anything to anybody. It doesn't matter to me. To stream. My wife is one of these people. Everybody loves her. Angry neighbor. The angry grumpy neighbor. He even liked her. Didn't know why he liked her, but he liked her. It amazes me. That's why probably I married her. Oh, she's amazing. Yeah, but like I have grown and changed following him because he's given me the thing I need. Why? Why does he give it to me? He gives it to me because he loves me. I didn't know this, right? But you know also what I figured out? He gives it to me because he loves you. See, because he wants me to have a relationship with people, to be able to love on them, and for them to see Jesus in me. If I'm obnoxious, hard to understand, and poking you in the eye, and you're bleeding all the time, how does that work? You see what I'm saying? But he loves people. So he's giving me a gift that's a gift to me that makes me a gift to others so that they can see him. And it's this, see, if we don't recognize this is what discipling is, it's becoming full of the fruit of the Spirit. People need us to have fruit. We need to desire fruit. We need to be hungry, God. I don't really know how to go after it, but I know you do. Help, I want to submit to you to become the person I want that you've designed me to be so that I can step into mission the way I'm designed to step into mission. I'm not going to step into mission if I think I'm going to make people bleed when I talk to them. That's not motivate. I'm like, wow, let's do that again. You know, there were times Dwayne's like, please, Don, stop talking to people. I know you're trying to help. He didn't say that, but I know he thought it sometimes. And like, we can get there. We can get there. We can get there. Now, on the flip side of that coin, not that particular coin, there's another coin you can have. We need to be good at the gifts of the Spirit. And right now, like, there's kind of three camps that I can see kind of fairly defined. There's the camp that's like, it is all about the gifts, right? They're the evangelistic types, like, and I love them. They're amazing, right? But they don't value the fruit and the relationship side. And so they're good at having babies, not good at discipling, right? There's the group that does good in relationships, but their faith for the gifts of the Spirit is challenged, right? Because their intelligence, their makeup, the way their mind works, whatever it is, their experience, I don't know. There's something about their makeup. They gravitate towards their strength over here and their ability to really affect from a place of power and anointing and God moving in them seems to be undeveloped. And see, so this person over here needs to be like, okay, you know what? He's promised me that. God, help me work on this. This person over here needs to be like, okay, I'm designed for that too, so let me work, help me learn this. But like, if I'm not going to put my energy towards that, if I'm not going to put my eye towards that, if I'm not going to ask him for that, how is he going to give it to me? If I have zero expectation around that, how is he going to give it to me? It says, ask and ye shall receive. It doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you whether you want it or not. Right? Like, we need to start asking these things. Our expectations around who we are, then you apply that back into small groups when we get together. I love, you know, I've been talking to Matthew about how the way God's processing through him. And I love one of the his built-in expectation around small groups is presence and power can show up with just a handful of people. I love that about the vision God's giving him. And he's talking to me about this, about just seeing this and recognizing it a certain way. If you don't know this, the way we do Sunday is flawed. And I know this is not a popular message in Christianity. Sorry, that's what God's talking to me about. If you're offended, Dwayne will pray for you. But it's flawed. We come here, man, like service is awesome today, right? You can feel the presence of God, right? Now, you can interact with the people of God, and you're like, wow, these people are nice. Wow, this is good, right? So you get a warm fuzzies from people, their light's shining, and the people interact with that. They're like, oh, that's good, right? Worship is going on. The presence of God's showing up, right? You can feel God. It's like, oh, God's here. Things are good, right? Hopefully, I'm preaching, and you can hear God talk to you as I'm talking to you, or reminding you something he's already been trying to communicate to you, right? Or using what I said, and it's like, oh, there's something there. Like some way, hopefully you're getting something out of this. But we look at this and say, this is where God meets. Small group is where I do relationships. But this is where God meets. So if small groups for them was where power, anointing, all the things happened, and they did relationships really well, and they grew in Christ, and like, if that's what was happening for them, how come we can't have that? See, we can do everything we do here in small groups. We cannot do everything we do in small groups here. See, we can't do relationship here. This is not relationship. Like, I could walk into this house and start preaching and have zero relationship with you. That's one of the reasons, if you don't know, like this is a little side note, known this for a long time, that's why Dwayne doesn't bring in people. He doesn't know. Doesn't know the people. Has no relationship with us. No relationship with them. Because God's like, yeah, stop that. If relationships are important, then the person least, at the very least needs to have a relationship with him before you let them start feeding sheep. Right? Relationship's important. Like, relationship is where it's at. This is right here. He said, do this. I've made it so you can do this well. You can't do it without this. Probably ought to start here. Do this. Right? As you do this, I'm going to lead you to do this. If you think we're doing this and we're not doing this, you don't know what we're doing. Right? My hope is you're going to have one of two reactions. Either you're going to run screaming from this, right? Or you're going to go, oh my, I've never thought about it this way. I need to talk to God. Right? Either one of those I'm okay with. Like, I am not totally avoidant on offending you. I'm not totally avoidant anymore. God had to help me with that because I used to be very much a people pleaser. Yeah, and as he's talking me through this, he says, there's a way of doing this with love, but if they didn't accept some of the things I've said, you're probably not going to hit a bad house on this one, right? You're not going to hit it through the park every single time for everybody. Because I'm relying on him to keep talking to you. Because if you run out of here, if this house isn't for you, and you heard something that God is actually trying to communicate, I'm pretty sure he's going to keep knocking on your door with it. Because that's how he rolls. We need small groups. Like, we need to embrace small groups, embrace the growing into small groups, embrace the growing into being a person that can operate. I don't care how bad you're at it right now. If you're really messing it up, like, join a small group. If you are really messing it up, they're gonna open back up for the summer. If you're like, you're just doing terrible at it, people are bleeding, poking the eye, there's two people you need to talk to. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to one of the pastors. Say, help me with this. We'll walk with you on it. But don't let doing it poorly keep you from growing in it. Because there's a world that's waiting out there for us that if we don't learn this, we will not be on mission. This is the mission. You know, and if you think the mission is on Pastor Lowe, me, the elders, the leaders of the house, if you think the mission's on them and not on you, you've missed who he called you to be. He thinks of you much more highly than you think of yourself. We can have this. We can have this. We can do this. We can overcome in this. And it doesn't matter what comes at us. This world might go nuts. If we will go after him and go after him together, we are going to be just fine. But we have got to change the way we think about this. And we have got to put the time in it. We've got to put the effort in it. And you're talking, this is me preaching to myself. My lovely wife, she's like, yeah, you're preaching to yourself this time, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, thank you, baby. Right? There is an AI we need to go after. It is authentic, intimate relationships. See, that's what we need to be embracing. You are designed to be authentic yourself and have people around you who are patient and kind and long-suffering until you become the person you're designed to be. And then, as you grow into that person, you are designed to be able to be your authentic self, to shine and embrace those people and have intimate relationships with them so they can actually learn to be the person that they are designed to be. And so if you could stand. One of the reasons why Dwayne's like, wow, if you would have seen my notes. They were like, wow, where are we going here, Brother Sean? It's the miracle of how much God loves his people. He actually changes the way I think to be able to deliver this to you in a way that's different than what I naturally process. If he can do this with me, he can do this with you. If you're here for the first time and like, you know what, I've never been a part of this church before. God, I wanna see what I haven't been able to see. He can talk to you about that. If you've never met Jesus, even though I've been talking in ways that talk about the church, he's calling you to life, to have an abundant life that's full of life, that's overcoming in life, so that you can feel the peace, the joy, the sense of belonging that he brings and he has designed for you. You can be filled with the Spirit of God, which empowers you to be able to walk this out, to be able to hear the calling of the Spirit in your life, to hear his voice, to be have that tugging go on. However the way he is designed to expect to speak to you, and you actually can receive that communication from heaven. It's the Spirit of God in us that creates that, oh, I can actually do this. See, it's the pull of the Spirit that brings us to repentance. You can hear him right now. You don't have to be filled for him to talk to you, for him to pull on you. But we do have to respond to it. And for those of you that are part of New Life, those that you that are part of any church, I would hope what I'm saying is not limited to just here, but we need to get a revelation about this. God is been telling, I can tell you, like, I'm going to give you a heads up. God is saying something has to change. And Dwayne has been very patient about, hey, God, I don't know when we're going to make this change, but something's going to change and you're prepping us for it. I'm giving you an inside look that something's coming and I'm asking you to start hearing God around it. Because if that change comes, I have seen God do this in this house where he said, okay, I want you to move. Dwayne will move with God whether you want to move or not. And I am 100% behind him on this. Because if God is saying do something, it is imperative that he does it. But I have never seen, and he has always been like, God, I need to make sure now is the time. Because I do not like it when people fall overboard. He will let you fall overboard if he has to. Because he is going to follow God before he follows anybody else's opinion. And that's the way it has to be. And so I've seen it several times. I've been here for 20 years. And several times I've seen God said, okay, now pull the trigger. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to start doing this. And people have left in droves sometimes. And it's not a pretty sight. Many of them came back. Okay? I'm giving you a heads up. This is coming. He is trying to prepare us for it. He is trying to prepare you for this because he wants you to be a part of the church he has designed, not the church that's comfortable to be a part of. The question is, are you going to submit to him or do you want it your own way? That's exactly what he's telling me. Sean, I'm doing this. You can either come with me or you can have it your way. Okay, I will be with you either way, but you are not going to experience the blessings you're designed for without following me. My mercy will be with you no matter what choice you make. But just because I'm being merciful doesn't mean you're receiving the blessings you're designed for. This is what he was preaching last week. I don't want to live in the mercy with God and not operate in the favor of God. It is not worth it. There's way too much I go through. I know because I've experienced it enough to know what it looks like. We need to be submitted to him. There is no lordship without that. If you could go ahead and bow your head. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing right now. There's going to be prayer people up here that can pray with you. So God, do your work in their lives. We want to hear what you're saying. We want to understand where you're going. We want the faith to be able to walk with you the way you've designed us to walk, to not accept a vision of ourselves that is less than what you've created, to have the boldness, to have the courage, to have the hunger. And if I don't have it right now, God, give it to me. Help me to see what I haven't seen. Let me hear what I haven't heard. Reshape my heart. I will submit to you. It's not okay for me to be less than the church you've designed. Have your way right now, Lord, in Jesus' name.